Hi, it's Elliot Odell here. Now, do I have something exciting in store for you, or what? I'm excited about it and passionately praying that you'll take a strong hold of this and run with it, because this is where you get to see God move by you provoking him to do so. Now, my aim here is to give you empowerment and to give you inspiration to take the action necessary to fulfill the vision which God has for your life. You see, the thoughts and images you harbor in your mind are the seeds which will eventually produce physical effects after their kind. God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so." You can cause a shift in your world and the conditions in the environment around you by the thoughts you choose to think and the actions you decide to take. Now, when you do, you manipulate the spirit world, turning spirit and thoughts, which are without form, into form. The natural world you and I perceive is nothing more than a delayed image of the supernatural world. The supernatural world holds what is not yet manifested in physical, visible form. It's almost like the natural, visible world is trying to catch up with what exists in the unseen realm. The natural world is the supernatural slowed down and exists in physical form. Whatever physical things you see now were at one point spiritual substance. The things which are natural to you, that are around you right now, they serve as inspiration and reminders of what has been manifested by faith in the past. Your job is to allow that to encourage your faith to continuously create something new. That which is seen is made of things which are not seen. That which is seen is temporary, but that which is unseen is eternal. Now, the thoughts and dreams you have should be so big that you cannot accomplish them unless you have the supernatural assistance of God. If you can do it on your own without God's help, it's not big enough. You want a vision which forces the divine intervention of God. So get a vision you know is impossible to accomplish in natural circumstances, in your own strength. Why do I say that? Simple. In the kingdom, all things are possible. Don't be concerned about how God's going to help. Just be confident he can and act on the dream thriving inside of you. Use his promises and hold him to his word, and he is obligated to help you. He will take care of his end, but you are going to have to trust him. See, he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Watch this now. According to the power that worketh in us. You see, anything is possible. It's never really a question of what's possible. It's only a question of what you believe is possible. It's a question of what you believe is possible for you. See, what's possible isn't a question at all. I mean, if you just look at the life we have today, look where we were 100 years ago or 25 years ago. Look at all the things we live with today that were once a mere dream or just pie in the sky. See, they are all manifestation of someone's idea. They are the manifestation of someone's mind. Whatever is in your mind can be part of your reality here in Earth. And don't let anybody tell you otherwise. It doesn't matter what you think you lack, which could prevent you from making it happen. Because the truth is, you are already connected with everything needed to make it manifest. Now, make no mistake about it, you are going to need things to make the thoughts you have conceived become manifest in earth. But you don't need to worry about that because, as I said earlier, you are already connected with everything needed to make your vision manifest. So take no thought to worry because your Heavenly Father knows every one of the resources you have need of, down to the smallest microscopic detail, and he has promised that he will supply all your needs according to his riches. See, God doesn't select people for his service based on the resources they have. Well, thank God for that. He calls them because of their character. He assumes full responsibility to supply the needs of the business or the ministry he has given you to manage. It's his business and his vision, and he will see to it that you lack nothing in order to implement his will on this earth. So concerns regarding lacking the resources to carry out his work shouldn't be an issue, and it shouldn't stop you from moving forward. Because when you move forward, the resources will show up. Only when you move. You can't wait for resources to show up in order to move. He wants you to move, and then once you've moved, there is now a need for the resources. He promised to supply needs. And when there is a need, once you have moved, you've now created a need, he will supply them. He promised to supply your needs. He's not supplying what you don't need. My point is, he won't supply resources for which you have no use. Are you getting this? When there is a need of resources for his use, he supplies the need. So, my question to you is, what are you missing out on because you haven't followed through? If you don't think of it as a big deal, then make it a big deal. Get passionate enough to refuse to live without having accomplished seeing your dream fulfilled. You see, until you find something disturbing enough about the fact that you haven't accomplished what you have dreamt about, you're not going to do anything to change it. Being disturbed forces you to make a solid decision about what you will no longer tolerate, and it gives you determination. And determination accomplishes anything. Look at and hang around people who have already accomplished what you want and be determined to do what it takes to make your life like that. It's a widely accepted truth that if you want to become better at a particular sport, you have to play with someone better than you, and eventually you become as good as they are. The scripture says, the disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And the same is true for everything in life. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. In other words, you become like the people you have around you. If you are ever faced with something challenging, I want you to look back and remember something which at one point in your life you thought was impossible. This is an exercise I want you to do, and always do this, because I tell you, it will encourage you. And I mean something impossible. I mean it couldn't be done. No way. At least you didn't think so, and neither did other people. That which was impossible is now reality. Think of something like that. Man, I'm just so fired up about this right now, because I've had something seemingly impossible manifest just a little over a year ago. And from the time I wanted it to the moment it actually came to pass was about 8 years. Now, I bet you're wondering what it is, but I'm not going to tell you. All I can say is that it has caused incalculable praises to God to experience this manifested in my life. You know, I'm just so pleased and so grateful, because I'm experiencing the dream that I envisioned years ago, which I thought may never be when I first thought about it. Now, this thing used to look impossible to me. So now when I look at other impossible feats I have ahead of me, I'm encouraged by this one thing that I thought was just impossible, which is now a reality, and it serves as inspiration and empowerment, and it keeps me going when things get challenging. And I think to myself, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. If this thing happened to me, then so can everything else. So, don't cheat yourself out of what you really want, and reduce the size of your dream. Don't ever do that. If you do that, I'm telling you, you're falling into the devil's trap of being in faith for what you think you can accomplish. where you don't really need faith at all. Be in faith for what you really want. Whatever it is you want, you can have if you're willing to pay the price necessary to receive that reward. Keep positive, constructive thoughts before you. Know that your dream can happen for you. See, sometimes the words "I know" may for a while be the only thing supporting you, but those words contain awesome power, and nothing can be restricted from a person thinking those words about their dreams. What's possible is not a consideration at all. If you look, like I said earlier on, where we are today from just, you know, as little as 100 years from ago, things which looked impossible, ludicrous, irrational, unreasonable back then are now considered normal and acceptable. Think of the different reactions I would receive from making this one statement. Here it is. I am going to fly to Japan. Do you have a problem accepting that? No. Why? Because you know it's possible for me to do that. Your response would be, okay, have a good flight. Write me a postcard when you arrive. You have so much confidence that not only will I fly there, but I will actually land safely and be able to send you a postcard, which, by the way, would be flown over to you by airmail. Now think, it's 200 years ago, and nobody has ever heard of an aeroplane. Nobody has ever heard of a human being flying, and I make the exact same statement. I am going to fly to Japan. If I made that statement with a serious look on my face, as if I actually believed such a thing, 200 years ago, I would be taken to see a doctor, because well-meaning people would be concerned for my mental health. And if someone did see me fly, they'd probably think I'm a witch. Now, why am I saying this? I'm saying it because maybe there is something you have thought of that will be ridiculed today, but will be the norm of tomorrow. It's the dreamers that talk about unrealistic things and make them a normal part of everyday life. People are often referred to as fake, crazy, phony, or whatever, when they want to talk about something that doesn't exist as if it can. If certain people in history were to stop at the first sign of opposition of impossibility, there are a lot of things which you and I take for granted today in our daily normal use, which would still be pie in the sky. If certain individuals listen to the thoughts of other well-meaning people trying to protect them from ridicule, or jealous folks trying to discourage them and hold them back. Now, I'm sure if you go around your house, you'll find such inventions you use today, which can confirm what I say is true. See, today, you benefit from the things which were considered impossible. If I may borrow from Adidas, impossible is nothing. Thoughts become things. Your thoughts, feelings, and your ideas have actual substance in the universe. When you have an idea, that is God communicating to you from the realm where substance without form exists. And that substance which is without form is seeking to find its physical counterpart form of expression. The fact that you have had the idea and desire to give birth to its physical existence is proof that God has chosen He wants to bring it into form through you. Desire is the effort of express possibility within you, seeking expression outwardly through your action. Thoughts and ideas are real things, things that have already begun to move into form. Check this text out from 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to shew Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards Him. Now, faith is the substance of things which are hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. If we dream about something or picture something and commit ourselves to it, we cause a shift in both the spiritual realm and the physical towards the existence of the image in physical, visible, tangible form. We have the power and authority to command the world around us to become what we want it to be. We are in complete, total control of our destiny. Look what God said in Genesis chapter 11, verse 6. And the Lord said, "This they begin to do, and now no thing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do." It would be impossible for you to have an idea if it could not be done. The way for your idea to come to materialize form was established before you had the idea. The first thing you have to take responsibility to do is believe that this image or idea or dream or whatever will become part of your tangible reality. It has already invaded your spiritual reality and currently already exists as actual substance in spiritual form. You have to believe it is and that it will exist physically because you are determined to make it so. You have to believe you can build a worldwide organization if you expect to ever have one. You may think it's unrealistic for whatever reason, but listen to this. Whether you think you can or you think you can't, either way, you are always right. Jesus said effectively the same thing when he said, "Be it unto you according to your faith." There was a time when walking into a room and flicking the light switch and expecting light to consume the room used to be thought of as unrealistic, and that's why it never happened, until someone called Edison came along and didn't think it was unrealistic at all. He thought it was a brilliant idea and believed, and the evidence that he believed it was that he kept working on it until it worked. Work is what makes things work. Faith without works is dead. Faith with works works. By the time most people think a good idea is a good idea, it isn't an idea anymore. It's a reality. When you believe all things are possible, it seems ridiculous to embrace the idea that something won't or can't happen. The moment you think of something and believe it and talk about it as if it exists, and you begin acting on it, you just made that thing real. Therefore, just refuse to acknowledge anything, any thought, or any idea contrary to what you believe is possible. When you acknowledge those sorts of obstacles as significant, you have actually given them the power to stop you. So don't entertain any ideas or thoughts about why you can't do something. Everything you can or can't do are subject to what you believe. On my mobile phone, I have two powerful words that whenever I look at them, empowers me to be encouraged every time I see them. And those two words are, "I believe." When I see those words, "I believe," and any obstacle is in my way, it becomes insignificant. And those words are what gives me power because of something Jesus said that I will talk about shortly. But when I believe something, I see the objective as already accomplished. So therefore, all obstacles have to submit to me. They will be overcome, and in truth, they are already overcome. But while they still exist, I refuse to stop because of them. I'm either going to go through it, around it, under it, or above it, or whatever, but I'll figure it out. But I refuse to give it the permission or authority to stop me because I believe. Check out what I believe, and I get this from the scripture. I believe no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. No weapon without exception. Now notice the scripture says no weapon that is formed. So weapons will be formed, but they will not prosper against you. Why? Because you, when you hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, everything you do shall prosper. I believe I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I believe all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I believe in being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I believe that there shall not be any man able to stand before me all the days of my life. As God was with Moses, so God will be with me. God will not fail me, nor forsake me. I believe in all these things. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I believe all things are possible to those who believe. I believe that when I say to an obstacle, be removed and be cast into the sea, without a shadow of a doubt in my heart, and I believe that the things which I say shall come to pass, I will have whatsoever I said. I believe when things are impossible with men, with God all things are possible. I believe all the world shall know that the battle is the Lord's and he will give the obstacle into my hands. I believe Jesus is the author and finisher of my faith. You need to believe that. In fact, what you need to do is rewind that back and say it with me. God has given us power and we have the right, the authority, to refuse to relinquish our power. When faced with an obstacle, regardless of its nature or size, when there is a will to arrive at a destination, there is a way. The obstacle is in the way, which proves you are on the right path. You just get the privilege of defeating something and becoming stronger in the process of getting where you want to go. This is strength that will benefit you for the rest of your life. And when you get to your destination, it makes the victory all the more sweeter when you have overcome things to get there. It gives even more reason to rejoice at the next obstacle, because you look at all those obstacles you have a track record of overcoming before, and any obstacle that comes from now on is no different to the others. They are objects which merely exist for the sole purpose of being defeated. They will be overcome. They are overcome. In Jesus' name, the victory is yours, because all things are possible to those who believe. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Jesus said, because you have so little faith, I tell you the truth. If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. No thing will be impossible for you. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. For with God, no thing shall be impossible. How can we begin to believe in the impossible being possible? Romans chapter 12, verse 2 gives us the answer. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, perfect will of God. You might look at the successes of others and think to yourself, yeah, it's all right for them, you know, they're a genius, or they had more money than I have. They had better connections, more resources, more time. Listen, whoever it is you're talking about, if you do a little research, you may be surprised to discover a lot of those people were more disadvantaged than you. You are probably a lot smarter than a bunch of them. You may think, yeah, but they have a special gift. Well, doesn't everybody? Don't you? everybody has something they do better than everybody else. Everybody has a combination of skill sets which are unique to them and perfectly equipped for what God has put them on earth for. If you're thinking, yeah, they have skills, I don't, the good news about skill is if you don't have it, you can learn it. You can read a lot of people's biographies about their lives, about where they started and how they got to where they are today. You know, they face challenges, setbacks, and blows to their egos too. You know what you begin to realize? They are normal people, just like you and me. Nothing special. If you were to cut them, they would bleed. They breathe the same air as you. They have emotions. They have concerns. They feel pain. They cry tears. You know, if you went into the bathroom after they just did the number two, you would want to walk straight back out. You know, I'm sorry I had to be so vile, but my point is that they are normal people. Often when people meet the person they are very fond of, whom they've always dreamt of meeting, they're often disappointed. Now, why is that? It's because they found out that that person has flaws. They're just a normal person. You know, some flunked school, some got fired or dropped out of school or university. A lot of them don't even have degrees, masters, PhDs, whatever. Many of them were told they would never be anything, but despite that, they chose to believe something different. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The only thing that sets them apart is they had a dream they were passionate about, and they believed so strongly that they were prepared to take the steps of faith and take a calculated risk here and there, and they were determined and persistent until they got what they wanted. The particulars of their stories aren't the important thing. What's important are the principles behind the stories. And they can be learned and applied by anyone. Anyone who is truly has a passion to do it. You can acquire the necessary skills you need for whatever goal you want to accomplish by learning from those who have gone before you and achieved something similar to what you want to accomplish. A lot of people leave a trail behind them, which you can follow, and by that I mean they have information available which you can take advantage of, be it a book, a CD or a DVD, or whichever medium they choose. Just make the decision to go on a learning journey and acquire the skills you need. And the best place to begin is the Word of God. You can learn so much from the book of Proverbs about success in life. I tell you, it is astonishing. The main thing I wanted you to get is that anyone can do anything. There is never a perfect time other than now to get started. It is never too late unless you are starting tomorrow. Now back to following the trail successful people leave behind. What you'll find over and over again as you follow the trials of various successful people is you will begin noticing certain traits in character that they all have in common, and those are the traits in character that you want to adopt. One thing you will notice is this: if they tried something that didn't work or they were rejected, they either tried again or they tried again a different way. Either way, they persisted until they had accomplished their objective. In some cases, they found mentors to give them guidance where necessary, and where they didn't know anybody in the field they were venturing into, they were forthcoming in introducing themselves to people and establish relationships. Now, this is very important because a lot of breakthroughs you will experience in life, if not all, will be because of a connection with somebody. So introduce yourself to people, exchange business cards at every opportunity you get, build solid relationships with people, and keep in touch, I'd say at least twice a year. In business and ministry, build solid relationships with those you serve to not only survive, but thrive. Now back to the traits of character found in common among successful people. Another thing you will find is that when these people lacked resources, they became resourceful. When you have limited resources, you are forced to be creative. You use your God-given gift called initiative. Now, people in prison are excellent at this. I've seen these documentaries on these people. You know, my sister loves watching those programs. It's amazing what these people come up with to create the conveniences which they're not permitted to have. Mothers also are resourceful people. You know, I've seen it. I see my own mother, you know, with virtually nothing in the cupboard, make a meal that could rival that of a 5-star gourmet restaurant. Now, that's talking about tangible resources. But what about when they had a dream, but they also had other obligations and there wasn't enough time? What did they do? They made time. They made time for whatever was important. They rearranged their priorities. The point is, when you are determined enough, you will stop at nothing to get what you want. A drug addict always manages to get their fix one way or another. And I came to tell you, you can experience the fulfillment of your vision. I recommend you get inspired by watching other people living their dreams. You know, it can really keep you encouraged and give you the will and passion to keep going after a dream through tough times. Read people's biographies and make a habit of it. You can pick up a lot of tips along the way too. You can also go to YouTube and type in the names of people you admire telling their story in interviews or speaking at engagements. You can see them there. There's tons of them. Now, I can promise you, you will begin to see these great people not as great anymore, but just like yourself. See, what people tend to do is feel inferior looking at successful people because what they do is compare where they are now with what the successful person has already achieved. And they have this perception of them and regard them high and better than themselves just because they haven't achieved what they've achieved yet. You know, they put them on a pedestal. Maybe because they possess a lot of money or they are known by a lot of people, and they lead themselves to believe that those people are high and mighty and that it's always been this way for them, or that it's written in their destiny to be great, but I'm just regular. I'm telling you that they are just like you, and when you do just a little research, like I said, you will begin to see that. And then you'll begin to think, well, if they can do that, then surely I can do this. Plus, I have God with me and I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Nothing is impossible to me. God has made it very clear to us in Scripture that we become as great as we are willing to be and create. It's up to you, not God. God wants you to have it all, but you are the one who determines how much of it all you get. When you have been faithful over a few things, God will make you ruler over many things. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now let me ask you this. Who chooses how faithful you are and how diligent and persistent you are? You do. Who chooses what you sow? In other words, who chooses what you put into life, which is going to be directly proportionate to what you get out? That's right. You do. You see, those successful people you admire are normal. They just made different choices and cultivated different habits. Choices and habits are all that separate the successful from the mediocre, because success leaves clues. So emulate what people do, what successful people do, and achieve your success. Check out the habits of successful people. Make the choice to do the same and make their habits your habits, and your life will be as one of those who will be an inspiring story to others. All things are possible if you can just believe. Get off your rear and get into gear. You may have thought that there was some sort of magic formula to success. Newsflash, there is no magic formula, okay? And if there is, it's spelled W-O-R-K. There is no formula and there is no way around getting to success without working towards it. All the books and CDs will all essentially tell you the same principle in various different ways, but the principles are the same. Remember, magic is spelt W-O-R-K. So, make the decision to discipline yourself every morning to affirm to yourself that you can do the impossible with God through Christ. By the way, the word impossible doesn't mean it can't be done. The I am in impossible stands for I make. Whenever you see the word impossible, think I make possible. When something is impossible, it means you have to make it possible. And you can do it with the Lord strengthening you once you know what you want and have a good purpose for it. What you need to do is find enough good reasons as to why you refuse to live without it and why you must accomplish it. Then you switch from I should do to I must do. It is impossible to do the impossible without faith. Expectation is to regard something as likely to occur. Belief is a firm opinion or acceptance of something. Faith is a firm belief not requiring logic or proof. Faith is the strongest of the three. Faith is certainty that you know you know. Now, we know faith comes by hearing the word of God. But how do you develop it? Faith can be developed by repeated instructions or suggestions to the subconscious mind. And consequently, you are transformed by the renewing of your mind. One way of doing this is by saying the things you want to believe to yourself over and over until you are convinced beyond doubt that it is your reality. So start affirming the truth that you find in a word to yourself. Even when the word or the truth is not matching what you see, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Write them upon the tablet of your heart. Psalms 45:1 says, my tongue is the pen of a ready writer. You can use the words of your mouth to write on your heart. Isn't that interesting? And out the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So your mouth becomes a two-way highway. You can use it to write on your heart to develop faith and speak faith-filled words to create things. Whosoever shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. When you keep repeating the truth to yourself, you believe it, regardless of whether or not there is any logic or physical evidence as proof that what you believe is true. You can use faith boosters to do this. By listening to them over and over again, you will produce faith in the concepts. And the more you put an idea in, the more aware you become of the things which build your awareness in the truth. Then you begin to develop expectation. Then you literally expect what the word says to happen. When you have that firm opinion, you become certain it will manifest, and that is faith. Now, this is also known as self-suggestion. Self-suggestion to your conscious mind's awareness. Marketers use suggestions, might I add, persistent suggestions, to convince people that unnecessary luxuries are actually needs, and their needs essential to their well-being. Hence why people go into debt to buy things that they don't even need, but, you know, that's another topic. The point is that through persistent suggestions over a period of time, the idea of a luxury was accepted in your mind as a vital necessity. Now, if suggestion is so powerful it can make people buy things that they can't afford, consistent suggestions can convince you of the power of God's word and provoke you to be obedient to his commandments and enjoy the benefits of doing so. Just imagine for a moment what would happen if you kept suggesting to yourself, nothing is impossible to me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, and as he is, so am I in this world. And you said that 5 times a day, every day for 5 years. Just imagine the kind of faith you will have. I double dare you. And you watch what happens. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Whatever you allow your mind to accept and strongly believe will manifest. You need to make the decision to focus solely on the positive, constructive things in God's word, which will drive you forward rather than hold you back. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. The suggestions we accept determine our attitudes towards life and manifest the circumstances we live in. We all know those in possession of positive attitudes are the ones that end up as the cream of the crop in life. We tend to think that they are positive because their surroundings are positive, but their surroundings are positive because they are positive. The suggestions we make to ourselves determine our actions and ultimately environmental conditions we live in. All manner of suggestions are presented to you at every moment of the day, and you choose which type of suggestion you want to believe. You and I can alter our attitudes in life by deliberate, purposeful, constant suggestions to ourselves of what you and I want to believe and the attitudes you and I want to have. And I think it's a good idea to repeat to yourself suggestions you would like yourself to believe and cause faith to make reality. Because faith gives substance to thoughts and ideas when that faith is in action. Faith, when used in prayer, is direct communication to God. And you should pray in faith, with thanksgiving. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Why with thanksgiving? Well, when you pray in faith, you should be giving thanks, because faith is certain. It expects to receive what it firmly believes. Whatever you desire when you pray, believe you receive. When do you believe you receive? When you pray. Faith always believes it has received even before the tangible manifestation. Faith already believes it has received even before. Faith already believes it has received even before the tangible manifestation has taken place. Answer me this. When you receive something, what do you say? You say thank you, right? If you receive something you've asked for, you say thanks. Well, you have already received when you received by faith. So say thank you. 1 John chapter 5 verse 15 says, we know that we have the petitions we desired of him. See, we give thanks for the things we already have in our lives. And we can and must give thanks for the things we have received by faith, because we are certain that they are on the way to our tangible reality. Now, I want to talk for a moment about the power of your imagination. Albert Einstein famously said, imagination is more powerful than knowledge. See, we only see knowledge as valuable, but knowledge is based on what's already created. Your imagination today creates what will be knowledge tomorrow. Knowledge today is tomorrow's history. I've said this before, but it's worth repeating. Everything you see was at one time nothing but a thought in the mind of the person who created it. Everything you use at one point didn't exist before, other than in the spiritual realm. You need to understand that it is not just thoughts which create things. The imagination must be followed by action. We must condition ourselves to get into the habit of acting on that which we think about. Many have ideas or have had thoughts, but haven't acted on them. And I'm sure somebody looked in the sky and saw birds flying and thought, wouldn't it be great if man could do the same before the Wright brothers did? The reason why people don't act on their ideas is because most people aren't sure how it, whatever it is, can be done. So then they think it can't be done. They start reasoning. And the problem with reasonable people is that they will only accept what is already physically perceived as possible. They allow their current results to cast away the intuitive message that they've received. they begin to question, can they or can't they? Or if they should or shouldn't. See, you have to teach yourself to ask the question, if I act on this, regardless of where you are now, will this ethically bring me in the direction of my dream? If the answer is yes, do it, and do it now. And it's not a question of whether or not you can do it. God wouldn't have trusted you with the idea if you couldn't do it. The instant you got the idea, you are already connected with everything required to make it a tangible reality. See, it already exists. It does. The image you have in your mind exists. Just because it hasn't manifested in physical form doesn't mean it's any less of a real thing. Because thoughts are things. So although the thought existed, which was really the spiritual realm seeking physical expression, sometimes the first person who receives the thought isn't always the one who brings it into physical existence. See, many people reject the idea as ridiculous until someone decides it's actually a brilliant idea and does something. See, it's unreasonable people who are the pioneers of the future. You may have heard someone say to you before, "You see that invention? I actually thought of that, and I didn't do anything about it. I'm just gutted. Do you know how rich I'd be right now?" See, whatever God has said in the spirit realm must come to pass in the physical realm. Spiritual substance seeks physical expression. Jesus said, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." God, who is spirit, wants his will to be fulfilled on earth, and so he will keep trying until someone says yes. Remember the text I told you, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to shew himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. For by him all things were created. For by him all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory." Now, whenever God expresses something, it must happen. It has no choice. If he said it, it's happening. End of story. He said, "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and prosper in the thing to which I sent it." It is a shame that we discourage people, especially children, from imagining things. We've given imagination a dirty name called daydreaming, and it's frowned upon as an unproductive activity. Yet, we praise people for being innovators when their work is complete. And that's what I meant when I said, people only think a good idea is a good idea when it isn't an idea anymore. All the things we have created were framed in the workshop of the imagination. Through the aid of the imagination, the finite human mind has direct communication with infinite intelligence. That's God. Who, by the way, said that his ways and thoughts are higher than your ways and thoughts. But see, his thoughts and his ways and his wisdom can be revealed to you. Because God said, "God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and find out knowledge of witty inventions. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and it shall be given him." Now we have been blessed, empowered to prosper as co-creators with God. We are made in the image of God, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion." So God created man in his own image with the same faculties of the mind as him that the other species of being do not have. We are like God. We are God-like. In fact, in Psalms 82 verse 6, it says, I have said ye are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. Ephesians 5:1 says in the Amplified Version, therefore be imitators of God. Copy him and follow his example, as beloved children imitate their father. Now, God creates, and so must you. If you are like him, you are meant to imitate him. Another version of Ephesians 5:1 says to mimic him. You may remember being a child, if it wasn't long ago, that is, and you enjoyed having fun mimicking other children. And they would say, hey, stop copying me. And you didn't, because you didn't want to stop, because being childish was fun. Well, here, God is saying exactly the opposite. He's saying, hey, start copying me. He also said in Matthew 18, verse 3, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Children, copy the examples by their parents, and God is our father parent. He wants us to copy him in creating. And as you go through all these faith boosters, you will see how God operates and know what he does and what you should copy, and you can get busy co-creating with God. See, here at Kingdom Advancement International, we are all about our Father's business, advancing his kingdom by advancing his people, so that Jesus' prayer will be fulfilled, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So as God's will is to be done on earth as it is in heaven, he must reveal his will to us on earth. Paul says, I do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, how does God reveal his will? We learned earlier, it is by the Spirit. This can be described as inspiration, or a hunch, or intuition, or, you know, a gut feeling, or funny feeling, instinct, or whatever you call it. You should know that it's the Holy Spirit talking to you, and you should acknowledge it as such, both personally and publicly. I can't remember who it was that said it, but it's a brilliant saying. They said, if when we pray we are talking to God, intuition is God talking to us. You see, inspiration means in spirit. When you are inspired, you have received direct communication with God. Brings all this together, a strong desire, a white heat, hot, fervent desire and burning passion for seeing something fulfilled causes determination, which nurtures creativity and resourcefulness, which are the essential elements necessary for something to be great, no matter what its beginnings. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end shall greatly increase. Creativity and resourcefulness can be developed further by simply using them more often. Just like using a muscle often makes it grow flexible and stronger and makes it able to withstand more resistance. When you've developed your imagination and something says your dream can't be fulfilled, your creative muscle power will not tolerate it, and it will resist with more ideas, because your faith remembers John 1 chapter 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Remember what I dared you to do earlier? Do it 5 times a day for 5 years. Nothing is impossible to me. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. As he is, so am I in this world. Do it, and God will see his idea, his dream or vision or whatever he's planted in you, all the way to fruition. David testified, never have I seen the righteous forsaken. Keep looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And remember, all things are possible if you can believe. With God, all things are possible, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Amen. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us.